the midweek drive, zooming into the future and energized by the now.
Dal team creativo responsabile di New York Real Talk arriva una nuovissima serie di speciali, incentrata sulle varie esperienze di vita e di musica in Italia. Non perdete Memento Vivere, presto sarà qui, nell'universo, per festeggiare la meraviglia di essere vivi.
Thank you. Well, there we are. It's time for another Memento Vivere. We've already heard the dulcet tones of Liliana because she does our jingle and our ident, and she's with us now. How are you, Liliana?
Great, except for the hot, hot weather. Well, today it was a quite good day because in the surrounding area of Rome, a pouring rain fresh the air, so now we are breathing again.
Always important. And speaking of breathing, we've just been listening to Breathe by Emiliano Savini. How are you, Emiliano? Welcome to Memento Vivere.
Thank you, Alex. How are you?
Very good indeed. Now, you're based in London, although originally, obviously, you're Italian born. Is that right?
Yes, correct. Yeah, I was born in Rome. Yes.
And are you the same Emiliano who also has an interest in Formula One?
I have a great interest in Formula One. It's a bit my bread and butter. It's the sport I follow the most. Also, because I work in sports. So, yeah, it's a bit my bread and butter, if you want to put it that
way. We just wanted to clarify that because the world needs more Formula One specialists who are great musicians. You know, clearly, it's a message that's there. So, talk us through initially what we've just heard, because we're going to hear about, obviously, your collaboration with Liliana as the program proceeds. But would you like to just share with us, Emiliano, the first track that we've actually heard, which is in fact your latest release? And we will obviously have a reprise later on in the program. But what we were just listening to in terms of the wonderful world of Breathe.
Oh.
As you said, it's my latest release. I think I just wrote it, you know, without thinking too much about it. I was just thinking about the flow of time, and then all the problems that you probably you face in a different way as you grow. And when I said, you know, the grains of sand, you know, they represent the flow of time. It's a very well, it describes being a phase of my life. That this is what I've been doing so far. Everything I've been writing so far, you know, they do represent a phase, a specific phase I'm dealing with. So, yeah, and this is what Breathe is about.
Well, it is awesome and it's terrific, and we will have it here again as the show proceeds. But as we said, you grew up in Rome, you finished university, you lived in Australia and then the United Kingdom. You've been in the UK for 15 years from that point of view, and you started playing the guitar at 12. So music presumably has always been a passion in your life.
Yes, it has been a passion for many years. It was also, I could call it the main source of income, you know, alongside my university studies. So I was very keen to be a professional, to work as a session musician. So when I was in my 20s, I already had, you know, my three guitars, everything there need to be, you know, ready for all settled. And at some point, you know, I don't know, there was a sort of a game changer, a sort of a switch. You can call it circumstances, but, you know, after my journey down under, I had my first experience of media. And then when I was back in Italy, I just had a different perspective. So I didn't want to focus only on music, but then after many years, I think, you know, it came back spontaneously. I mean, it wasn't forced at all.
Well, as I say, we say your latest thing, of course, it was released on the 21st of October, 2022. So it's been out there a little while from that point of view. And as you say, it's marvellous from that. Liliana, how did you connect with Emiliano? Was it a case of Emiliano sought you out?
Well, our publisher decided one day to make me listen to a demo of Emiliano, and that was Newbery, of course, and he proposed, "What do you think? Would you like to sing it?" And of course I said yes, but I don't know if Emiliano would like to. And so he said yes, because Emiliano, first of all, is a very nice person. He got a such a sensitive and rich soul. I don't know if this is natural or just because he got a lot of experience traveling. And, you know, when you travel so much alone, without anybody, any kind of help, you grew up very, very quickly, and you have to protect yourself, and you learn a lot, and you discover so many things about people and about the dark side of the world and so on. And Emiliano told me all those things listening to that demo. So I decided, I tried, and that attempt went good.
So, Emiliano, getting that kind of recommendation must be pretty impressive. I mean, you must be pretty happy with respect to that. When you've got an awesome talent like Liliana kind of singing those kind of praises.
Yeah, I mean, I was so honored to, you know, to start a collaboration with her. You know, it gave to the song, you know, the kind of extra mile, you know, I was looking for.
Yeah. And of course, the song itself, again, terrific from its own point of view. We're about to actually hear it now. Would you like to actually do a full introduction for it, Emiliano?
Well, me?
Yes.
Oh, the song, I mean, Newbery. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, but in Italian or in English?
We could do both. I mean, because it is obviously Memento Vivere, so obviously there's an Italian
edge. I
have the Italian flag behind me, so yes, let's go with it.
Yeah, you was a little bit bad with me, yeah? Making me doing those jingles. What? I'm too shy sometimes to do another kind of work apart except singing. But anyway, please listen to this wonderful, wonderful and intimate song, Newbery, played and written by Emiliano Savini and sung by me, Liliana Richter. Thank you.
When the morning comes, as the sun will rise, I'll be there for you, hey, only you, Newbery. When I'm feeling down, never let me down. My mind is clear, there's no cloud around. Bring along my dreams, I will run to you. Ooh, only you, Newbery. Never let me down. My mind is clear, there's no cloud around. Bring along my dreams, I will run to you.
absolutely awesome. A terrific little introduction there, and of course, a terrific song as well from that point of view. It is Memento Vivere. We have Emiliano Savini and the awesome Liliana Richter, without whom the show would not actually exist. If you're wondering, where is Pamela Sue Mann? Well, she seems to be lost in cyberspace for some reason. She hasn't received the link, so we will be sending her the link forthwith. And she'll hopefully actually be sort of fashionably on time from that perspective. So that's always important, really. But Emiliano, let's come back to yourself again. And I'm fascinated by this Formula One stuff because, as I say, there aren't that many crossovers between music and Formula One. We know that Lewis Hamilton is obviously keen on his particular music. He should be listening to much more Liliana Richter, etc. But share with us in terms of the actual piece itself. How did you get into Formula One? Was that also a passion with you, with respect to yourself?
Indeed, it was. Well, as many kids, I was a football or a soccer fan. But then, when I was 10, I'm so grateful to my uncle that took me for the first time to watch the Grand Prix at Monza. So I was 10, and since then I started following Formula One. And then, you know, when I got into sport, for me, it was an enormous opportunity probably to explore the sport even further. And so working as a producer, I had the opportunity to meet my heroes, Italian heroes, of course, from Fisi, Giancarlo Fisichella, Jarno Trulli. We texted each other a few days ago. He's following now his son in Japan. Well, even Giancarlo Minardi, is a kind of a second father, to me.
In the 70s, there was also a female driver.
Yes, it was Lella Lombardi. Yeah,
bravo.
Unfortunately, she passed. I think the early 90s. I think the last one is Giovanna Matti. She raised in 92, who's the daughter of Amati, the film producer.
Ah.
And she raised in 92, was very unfortunate because she had this call from Bernie Ecclestone at the very last minute. We need a, because she was supposed to go to Indy, and because Ecclestone didn't want a female driver to go to Indy and have the kind of newsy to give, too much, brightness to the Indy Championship. She called at the very last minute.
That's Bernie Ecclestone for you. He has his own ways, obviously.
Bernie style, yes.
I mean, again, it's extraordinary because obviously when we talk about Formula One, we talk about Liliana as being very much in the front row, the pole position of Formula One. And somehow there's always a kind of tendency for the Americans to be fashionably late from that point of view. Pamela Sue Mann, welcome aboard our own show, Memento Vivere. We've already heard...
Hi, Pamela!
We've heard a number of key things about how Emiliano and Liliana made their initial connection. We've heard their music. We've just been getting into Formula One. So, Pamela, are you a keen petrol head?
Oh, goodness. Well, I don't know if you knew this. Oh, are we still there?
Yes.
We haven't moved.
I think I could have upgraded. I'm so sorry. It has just been insane here. My father was in the car business, and we used to go to the... Indianapolis 500 when we were little. Oh my god, yeah, we used to go to crazy car races. I know it's not the same as Formula One, right? Is it? I don't know. We loved it. My brother loved it.
Yeah.
Are you're yes, thumbs up, thumbs down?
I think it's a thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Emiliano, just going back to that, and one of the things which I know some of my students are really getting into these days is, of course, the notion of e-Formula One and electric routines. Is that something which you also are interested in? Is that something you're kind of covering with electric cars? Certainly in London, it's been home to a couple of special events.
The Formula E, you mean?
Yeah, Formula E, exactly. You see, this is it.
I cover the Formula E since day one. They launched an event to unveil the new championship in 2014 that was held in Camden Town. And over the years, we developed, quickly and exponentially. I remember I was attending a test in Donington. In the first year, they used to race with two cars, and they had to change the car, like in the very old times. And the batteries development, I mean, made major improvements. Basically, you know, it was the biggest challenge was the duration of the battery. So I remember when they were charging the battery up to 80%. I think it took about 20 minutes, and then other 20 minutes for the remaining 20%. And I think over the years, you know, they made, you know, massive step forwards. You know, they, you know, racing with one car, and they're much faster now. I think there was another championship with the offshore, with the electric boats now that, you know, has started. Yeah, it's a sector which is developing, you know, quite considerably.
Yeah, absolutely. And Liliana, we clearly have to ask you as well, motor racing, any interest whatsoever?
Absolutely, yes. Because my family, you know, I was a sort of crazy driver, because I told you, Alex, the last time, it is sufficient to drive the car in Rome once to feel the emotion of a crazy day. So you need to become really a practice and expertise, come si dice, driver in Rome if you want to drive. So I loved, because my brothers used to be collectors of magazines about sports car. How do you call those kind of Formula One? And Each Sunday, when there is the race, the TV must be turned on, because yes, absolutely, to follow the race. So, but thanks to my mother, in my family, we are follower of many, many, many sports. I mean, ski and athletic, of course. And soccer, I am supporter of Rome.
Clearly, we need to actually sort of have a subsidiary of Memento Vivere, which actually deals with sports alone. But this is primarily music. So let's talk a little bit more with Emiliano. Emiliano, I'm fascinated by some of your influences: Jimi Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Eric Clapton, Jimmy Page. If I was to ask you to put them in order, what would you get? Who would be your winner out of that one? Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Eric Clapton, or Jimmy Page?
Well, I have to give you an order, you know, based on experience. I mean, it is not an absolute, you know, order, of course. I would start with Stevie Ray Vaughan. I mean, he's the first guitar player, you know, I had listened to when I was 14, and then, you know, I thought, okay, let's also hear Jimi Hendrix. And you know, like Jimi Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jimi Hendrix, and then Eric Clapton, Jimmy Page. I think for different reasons, but Stevie Ray Vaughan, you know, for his language, and same as for Hendrix. Clapton, I really, when people call him slow hand, is not very derogatory, because I mean, it's very difficult to give that kind of vibrato to the notes. I think it's more difficult to play less notes and give it some sort of meaning, rather than, you know, doing a marathon and, you know, just for the sake of doing it, you know.
I'm a little bit shocked that there's no mention there of Jerry Leonard, but that's okay. I mean, I'm sure we can actually cope with that. I mean, probably he would have been at number five, but that's by the by. Pamela, questions from yourself.
Goodness, we had a very lovely conversation because one thing that's so exciting, and thank you, Liliana, is that you opened the world of Emiliano up to me, and his guitar playing is very evolved. Like, if there are lots of guitar players, lots of people calling themselves guitar players, and Emiliano wouldn't even necessarily, like, you've done so many things. It's like, oh yeah, by the way, I play guitar. But you're phenomenal, and it is really Jerry, you know, being partners with Jerry for many, many, many years, and having him play on my music for the first time, I still acutely remember what that is, and it was so few notes, and yet very impactful and nothing without meaning, nothing done gratuitously. And that's exactly the same feeling that I heard when I heard your music. Everything is a conversation. Every word needs to be there, even though there aren't many, many words. But every word is really purposeful, really moving, and really. And I think you have that, or you don't. I don't think you can learn that. I think you're born with it. I think it's something within you that knows that. And I'm a huge fan now. So I think everybody needs to go and look at everything that you've ever done.
I think, you know, it is important to have, I think there is a window in your life where you learn to be essential, and you learn to express yourself even with fewer notes. And I think it's that window you have to work hard. I mean, I had, you know, the fortune to have teachers who had a very good technique, but told me, Emo, you also need to learn to play a bossa if it is necessary. Oh. And I was 14. So I learned to make the best of what I knew at the time in order to do something that had, you know, color and taste. And then I was learning technique at the same time. Whereas I met many friends of mine who were so focused on technique. And, you know, it doesn't take too much to become a technician of the instrument rather than a guitar player with a good technique. So,
there's a big difference.
Yeah. A huge difference, I think, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the same. It's the same also for singing and playing any instrument, because in Italy we have a motto. Motto is a folk, you know, a way of saying popular. Prendi l'arte e mettila da parte. Impara l'arte e mettila. Learn the art and then put it apart and just play or paint or sculpt, whatever. But you have to express what you want to express. So I know that to be a finger picking guitarist as Emiliano needs a lot of study, needs a lot of precision, needs a lot of so many difficult things, because when he plays, it seems easy, everything. If you look at the hand, I mean, the left one, it seems really like that, you know, but that is the way, the correct way to play and to arrive with your music to hit the souls of people. I think so.
Absolutely. You know, you were saying something about, I know my friends that went to Berklee Music College, we remember because they must have said it a lot, but they said, first you learn the rules, you learn all the rules, and then you break them. You learn them so you know them. And then, so it's the same thing as that.
Yeah, the same.
I've talked to people who, they feel like they don't want to take the magic out of music. They're afraid to learn music theory. They're afraid to actually learn an instrument technically or theory technically, because they think it might kill their creativity. It might make them boring or too analytical and not free enough. And I've experienced that too with poetry, because I started studying a little bit of poetry and I was so afraid that my wild style of unschooled poetry would suddenly be flushed down the toilet and I would just be terrible with words. But it's just not true, you know. And I think that, as with anything sort of classical, any kind of education, whether it's ballet or literature, or painting, dancing, music, I always tell people when they ask me, should they learn? Absolutely. You should learn the technique. You should learn the classical approach to whatever it is you're doing. You can disregard it. After enough time, you know, you'll keep what's useful, or you'll be able to pull something out of your memory. But it's never a bad thing to learn. And that gives you the advantage, because then you have a choice. If you never learn the theory, if you're self-taught, which I know some phenomenal people who are just self-taught, it's incredible. But I feel like maybe it's a slight disadvantage because they can't call on that. They don't have that to grab onto. Now, that's not hard, fast rule because it's so different from everyone. And then one more thing is that at some point, way, 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 way back, people were just figuring it out. There was no one there to teach them, you know? They had to figure it out. And then that history of the teacher began, teacher-student.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Emiliano, let's talk a little bit about your writing from that point of view, as Pamela's raised that notion. And I see that you're very keen on, certainly with respect to your first album, focusing on topics that affect daily life and make us wonder about its meaning, self-liberation, delusion, attempts to pursue happiness, and so on. That seemed to me very much like the notion that, you know, as we often say to writers, if you're writing a book, write about what you know. Even if it's writing in a fantasy field, write about the kind of applications that you can do within that, so you're focusing on that. Was that something which you were keen to develop, or is there secretly within you a kind of ultimate musical Formula E waiting to burst to the scene?
Well, I thought at some point that, you know, as this is my first album, I thought that I didn't have alternative choices other than, you know, writing about my experience. And I also thought that if you write based on cliche, or if you want to write, you know, concept just to try to achieve a broad audience, I mean, it's not going to work. So it's always better to, you know, to write about your experience, what you figured out, what you didn't, what you're still in process to figure out, what is going to take ages to figure out, and so on and so forth. And I think to me, it is more natural, and it also helps my writing as well, because if I have to think about a lyric which does not reflect a stage of my life, it would take me even, you know, longer to do it. So when I think, I just, you know, I just write it down, and well, this is the way you work with Newbery. This is the way you work with Breathe, because you know, those were things that I was contemplating in that moment. So Newbury was how I desired to leave the big smoke and go live in the countryside. It never happened, though, for many reasons. But
and in terms of experience, Australia or the United Kingdom, which one would you go for?
Well,
I have a feeling it's going to be the Antipodes. I have a feeling you're going to be heading down to Australia. In fact, I detect some slight Australian inflections in your answers, actually, Emiliano. So I have a feeling it is an Australian sort of bond that's there. Bonza.
Yeah. I never recovered, I think. I never recovered. Yeah. Yes, it's true. It was even stronger 15 years ago when I first came here. Also, because I have a part of my family, actually, by the way, they're in Rome at the moment. They're visiting my family, and they will stay here in Europe for other 2 weeks. And yeah, it was my first experience abroad after my degree. I wanted to, you know, to know the world a bit better. And so my uncle told me, well, you know, come over, Remo. Okay, thank you. So yeah, I had a magnificent experience in Western Australia, Perth, which is a wonderful state. One of the best states in Australia. WA is fantastic with nature, landscapes, absolutely wonderful. Then I lived in Melbourne. Honestly, when I left Australia, I didn't, you know, recover very well, because I wanted to stay there, but I had to be back for family reasons. But after many years, I realized that I think it's a bit too far away. So, you know, it comes to a point where you have to decide, you know, either you fish or you cut the bait. You can't go back and forth, you know.
We have a regular Australian correspondent who's based in Melbourne, Natasha Wanton. In fact, we'll be following this program with a new offering that the Australian government have actually put forward, in which if you're under 35, you can have an extended work visa to actually live and work in Australia. So we're keeping our Australian ex-colony for quite happy from that point of view. Obviously, I'm taking a British kid actually here. I think we have a bond with Australia that kind of exceeds that we have with the United States of America, because obviously they went off in 1776, and with Independence Day around the corner, quite, I don't know what's going to happen in that sort of way.
Oh, it's true. Fireworks.
Very loud fireworks about to happen in 2-3 days' time, right outside our window. Yeah. So, it has its good moments.
You can enjoy the fireworks.
You know, we take the bits we want. We take the good bits that we like, keep the fireworks, and put some other things back. We've actually been watching Rick Burns' phenomenal documentary on New York City, which I recommend, highly recommend. I think it's available on Amazon Prime, at least in the States. And it just gives you the whole long, sordid, incredible, fantastic, passionate history.
Ellis Island wasn't exactly the most positive of experiences for visitors to the United States.
Urban renewal, or, Robert Moses was he's a very controversial character as well. We love, Americans love Australians. We're sucker for accents too. We love the Australians and the Irish and the British and, the Italians. I mean, so many people,
Maybe even the Polish get in a nod in some way, shape or form.
It's funny, every time you say that, like, there's a neighborhood for everything here. It probably is somewhere in Queens, but New York City, I don't know how we got on this, because we're not even talking about New York real talk, but like it represents nearly every nation.
Yeah, you say New York real talk, but as Liliana says so effectively in the ident to Memento Vivere from the producers of New York real talk, so inevitably you're going to have a certain amount of crossover, and you're based in New York in any case. Emiliano, let's turn back to yourself. How do you relax when you're not actually writing music or commenting on Formula One and writing things from that point of view? Is there another side which comes out and say, yes, I'm a secret bungee jumper?
that's a huge question mark. Working on shift is never relaxing. So in my day off, I still recover from my previous shift. It's very difficult to relax, but, I do martial arts sometimes. I enjoy myself in London parks, when the weather is not too vile, like it's been over the last 3-4 days. We had 10 days of sun and now it's getting worse a bit. But
exactly. And when you're existing in London under Sadiq Khan as the mayor, you have my sympathies. That's all I can say. I might be coming down to London myself in a few weeks' time, but it's extraordinary still. So it goes. Pamela, any closing questions for Liliana or Emiliano?
Yeah, when's the next little musical collaboration? I want to hear more. I want to hear more with Liliana's voice and Emiliano's music. Hey. I'm such a fan now, and I want more and more Americans to know about the music of both of you and together as well. Anything coming down the pipeline? Maybe?
Not now, but we can absolutely improvise something for the future. Maybe a cover of James Taylor, because when I was a teenager, I used to, earn a little money on the road, playing on the road with my guitar.
Busking. You were busking.
Yeah, I was only on Sunday. And yeah, because in Rome there is one of the most huge open market called Porta Portese. And I went there exactly in a certain corner to play, starting at 11 in the morning till noon, something like that, to earn, money. And I played a couple of songs of James Taylor, absolutely played very elementary, not Emiliano style, like G, A, C, and so on. But I sang
So people stopped there just to listen to me, and I was very happy. And probably I could propose to Emiliano to play something, you know?
Mm. And Liliana, what's your favorite James Taylor song?
Well, his version, absolutely, his version of You've Got a Friend, to me, is the masterpiece. I mean, I love, the writer, she's wonderful. She wrote magnificent song for Aretha Franklin. But the version of James Taylor is fantastic.
I must admit, if pushed, I possibly would go for Up on the Roof, but that's by the by. I think You've Got a Friend. Fire and Rain, of course, is another classic. There are so many sort of words that come out with respect to that.
Also, Mudslide Slim. Mudslide Slim. Yeah. And also, Daddy's Baby. What's got you thinking? What's got you on thinking so low? Is there something I should know? It's a lullaby dedicated to her his daughter.
And it's the first time we've had official singing on Memento Vivere, so well done, Liliana. Okay, Emiliano, it's been awesome connecting with you, good self, today. We're going to wrap up again with a double header, basically, because we'll go out with Breathe, and then, of course, we'll have James Taylor, and then we've still got that little feature that I said about how you can, if you're under 35, have a new experience living and working in Australia. What the heck? So it's Memento Vivere, expanding on that side of things. Pamela, it's kind of those last two questions, but we haven't really kind of fine-tuned them as yet, have we, really, in terms of Memento Vivere? I mean, you can deliver them in the New York Real Talk style if you wish. I'd be happy to do that. What would you like to go for?
Huge, massive identity crisis. You know, I don't even know, because I wouldn't even know how to even begin to say it in Italian, because I'm only just beginning, the very beginning of my Italian studies. But I would say, okay, let's see. I would say, Emiliano, would you say that you enjoyed, was it fun being with us today? And I apologize for the, I was having some little technical difficulties here, but would you say it was fun? And would you, that's number one question. And then number two is, would you join us in the future for another conversation?
Oh, yeah, I will be glad to, yes.
Excellent. Will. That's all we wanted to say. It's not arrivederci forever. You know, that's the important thing, you know, because who knows what could happen on that side of things. And Liliana, have you enjoyed the time on the show today?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, I love you.
Oh, well, I tried to slow my delivery down, particularly when I thought, well, Pamela's obviously not here, so we need to make a start. So there we are. Anyway. Life continues to Emiliano Savini, of course, and to Liliana Richter, and inevitably Pamela Suman. Shall we just say arrivederci?
Arrivederci. Ciao.
Ciao.
when you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand, and nothing, oh, nothing is going right. Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running, oh yeah, baby, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, now all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call my name out loud now. Soon I'll be knocking upon your door. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running, oh yes I will see you again. Winter, spring, summer, oh, yeah. All you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, ain't it good to know that you've got a friend when people can be so cold? They'll hurt you and desert you. Will it take your soul if you let them? Oh yeah, but don't you let them. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Oh baby, winter, spring, summer, or fall. Hey, now all you've got to do is call. Lord, I'll be there, yes, I will. No, you've got a friend. You've got a friend, yeah. Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Oh yeah, yeah, you've got a friend.
Now, regular listeners to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition will know that we have a weekly correspondent from Australia, of course, who was formerly a graduate of the University of Lincoln, of course, is Natasha Wanton. And it seems that she was very much a pioneer in such things, because that joyous time of working in Australia could well be becoming a reality for many more folk, with indeed 16 million British people conceivably likely to work down under as Australia extends the working holiday visa age to 35. Now, to actually talk us through some of the key findings about this and some of the opportunities that are actually present within that, we're delighted to welcome to the programme Tourism Australia's Regional General Manager for the UK and Northern Europe, that's Sally Cope. How are you, Sally?
Very well, thanks.
Excellent. I mean, I avoided saying good day, Sally, because I thought I'd be cliche. So let's just move into something completely different. But this is really good news, isn't it, in terms of the increase of the working holiday visa? Because it's an opportunity not only to go and experience the fantastic world of Australia, but to obviously make money whilst there.
Well, that's exactly right. It's a great opportunity. When we knew this age increase was coming, we did some research just to find out how appealing it would be for British people. And a result came back from that research. 45% of 25 to 34-year-olds apparently regret the fact that they never took a gap year when they could. So I guess the message today is it's not too late if you're still up to the age of 35. Mm-hmm.
I mentioned Natasha, of course, she went there, and of course you had all sorts of lockdown issues as well from that point of view. So she had a time and a half of it actually in Sydney and then Melbourne. But those days hopefully have passed from that point of view. What are the opportunities that actually are open to young people in that age range who might, well, if they're in the 30 to 35 or age bracket, they might have thought, we've missed our opportunity to work abroad. We just need to become wage slaves in the UK.
Well, I think that's it. And typically, we would see each year about 35,000 Brits go down to Australia on a working holiday. And a large majority of those people will be taking a gap year naturally in the transition between, say, studying and starting their career. But I think what this opens up is a different mindset, potentially taking that gap year as a mid-career sabbatical. Australia is a big country with plenty of places to explore, a lot of diversity in landscape and experience and people that you meet. So being able to go down for an extended period of time and work while you're there to be able to afford to stay longer is a great opportunity. And I think the fact that you could get work in jobs that could potentially be relevant to your career back here in the UK means that it doesn't have to be, a frivolous wasted year. It can be really worthwhile at the same time.
Anecdotal evidence from employers, certainly that I've spoken to, tends to suggest that folk who've actually availed themselves of studying abroad or indeed working abroad and actually have that additional skill set to their resume or CV tend to be, in the main, far better employees and far better operatives for various organisations. So presumably this is something in which you can really encourage people who might sort of be a little bit uncertain. Let's say, we're talking about now where people will be getting shortly in July their results from their graduation and so on and whatever degrees they're actually doing. And they might think, actually, this is a really good opportunity to actually put something on the CV, which will put me in a much stronger position when I return.
I'm not surprised by that evidence at all. I know myself as an employer that if you do meet someone who has taken that year abroad and worked and travelled and gained some life experience, that does actually add to their appeal and value as a potential recruit. So I do agree with that. And it is just broadening your horizons. Australia is a great choice because from a lifestyle perspective, it does feel very different. It's, big, wide open spaces, often great weather, and lots of people to meet. But it's not culturally very different. We're very similar, like-minded people, Brits and Australians. And a lot of what this visa program is doing is really strengthening those ties between young Brits and Australians. You could potentially be making friends that you'll know for the rest of your life.
Now, clearly, you might well point out that cost of living crisis in Britain, weather in Britain, issues with respect to other aspects of living in Britain. Yeah, I want to get out to Australia as soon as possible. But allowing for that, what opportunities can Australia actually offer UK workers who might be listening to this, or they might know somebody in the family who is possibly stuck in an environment that they're not really happy with, they kind of feel as though they're a bit frustrated, and this could really be a huge opportunity for them?
There are lots of jobs in plenty of industries across Australia. I can talk specifically to the tourism and hospitality industry, which is what I work in. And just to cite an example, there are so many beautiful resorts and tourism businesses in, you know, fantastic locations right across regional Australia. So the idea of living and working on an island on the Great Barrier Reef or out in central Australia at Uluru, maybe down in Tasmania, it's just being able to bring your travel and your work together as one and extend your trip. I think there's plenty of opportunity for people.
The working holiday visa itself, I believe there are going to be a few further changes in a year's time. What are they likely to entail? How is it likely to impact this particular program?
So these changes are being coming implemented in steps. So 1st of July this year, 2023, it's the increase in the age cap to 35. 1st of July, 2024, it's the removal of the work requirements that you need to do to extend into a second and third year. So currently, to extend for a second year, you need to do 88 days work in regional Australia, and that could potentially be, you know, farm labour or working in tourism. But now there's no restriction on that. So next year it's basically going to be easier to extend and stay longer.
Now, clearly our usual connections with Australia tend to take place probably around about 11 a.m. or 11:30 a.m. at our time, which is kind of like 8-9 p.m. in Australia. If we were doing this whilst you were in Australia, it'd probably be about 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning. So presumably you're in the Northern Hemisphere at present, Sally.
Yes, I'm based in the UK. And in fact, I'm an example. 25 years ago, I came out to the UK on a working holiday visa. I did go home after that, but I've returned 25 years later for this job. And that's because I did have such strong ties, lasting ties with this country. The program's been in place since 1975, and it's been really successful.
Well, excellent news in all sorts of ways. But let's wrap up with the whole notion of where can people find out further details about this extraordinary opportunity, certainly for the under 35-year-olds?
You can go to our website, australia.com/working holiday. We've got all of the details how to apply. It's pretty straightforward. You apply online. You need a valid UK passport. You need to be aged between 18 to 35 and travelling on behalf of yourself, not taking any dependents with you.
There we are. Weather, lifestyle, new experiences, all important. Tragically, I'm too chronologically gifted to benefit from this, but what the hey, I just have to battle through. Any sort of indication that you're going to be increasing that age limit, or is it going to be against? No, if you're over 35, that's it. Sorry, tough cheese.
Not yet, Alex, but I'll keep you posted.
There you go. Sally Cope, Tourism Australia's Regional General Manager for the UK and Northern Europe. A huge thanks, and keep on keeping on.
Thank you.